Welcome to Community Hope Podcast. We pray that the word of Christ would dwell in you richly as you listen and that you would be encouraged in Christ.
It's good to be with you this morning, and we've been going through growth in Christ. And I don't know if you knew this or not, but we have a new book on discipleship. Brand new, hot off the presses. It just came out in paperback. Pastor Doug and I are still going through this. We're struggling a little bit. But anyway, what I'd like to continue with is, what are the essentials of growing in Christ? What are the essentials of discipleship? And Pastor Doug has covered a couple of them. 2 weeks ago, he mentioned no idols. There shall be no other idols before me, God says in the very first commandment. Then, last week, he discussed the importance of the Spirit-filled life, dependence upon the Spirit, to grow in Christ. Are there others? Now, you have a paper. Hopefully, I don't see a whole lot of people. I think they've... we got a few, and so everyone got one just about? Okay, so there's a paper, and what I'd like you to do is just take a moment and jot down something that you believe is an essential part of growing in Christ, an essential part of discipleship. Jot down one thing, at least. Okay, some of you probably jotted down Jesus and disciples' teachings. Very important part of growth is getting into the Word. Fellowship. We do a lot of that around here, don't we? We just finished some fellowship. Great time getting to know some new people. We get together like bingo night. Nice fellowship time. Small groups. We have a number of small groups. Bible studies. There's one that meets right now over here. We have some that meet on Wednesday night. We have small groups for kids. We have small groups for middle schoolers, high schoolers, college career. Women get together to pray on Fridays. We've got a lot of small groups around here. Prayer, worship, that's what we were doing just now. Very important part of growing in Christ. Evangelism, going, making disciples, very important part. Making disciples and then, of course, giving. So, what are the most important? Could you circle a couple of those and say, that really is important? I'd like to challenge you with considering three. Neil Cole, who wrote Organic Church, feels there are three essentials to discipleship. They're like DNA. As a biology teacher out of college, and so this spoke to me. And I see three strands in there. And the first strand, there it is, divine truth, the Word of God, divine truth, getting into the Word of God. Secondly, nurturing relationships, getting into each other's lives. And then thirdly, apostolic mission, sharing that life with others. Now, let's be good Bereans and check this out. Is this really true? Are these three the essentials for growing in Christ, for discipleship? So let's ask the question, did our Lord embody this DNA? Did he embody it? Did he demonstrate these three emphases in his life? And I'd like us to consider John 14. So in John 14, Jesus says, I am the way. Apostolic mission. There's no getting to the Lord apart from him. He's the way. I am the truth. Divine truth. I am the life. He gets into our lives, nurturing. that life. So it seems to me like he embodies this DNA. Does he command it? Let's take a look at the Great Commandment in Matthew 22, and then the Great Commission in Matthew 28. And you can jot down the chapters that are missing are 22 and 28 on that paper, if you're keeping track of that. The Great Commandment, love God, who is the way, truth, and life. How? Know him better. Divine truth. I think you're familiar with this gal. I love her. And Maxine talks about genetics. And she says this: you're just like your father. My mom would say that to me. Why would she say that? Because I spent time with my father. And I was just like him. So as we love God, how do we love God? We spend time with him in his word. We talk to him in prayer. He talks to us from his word. We get to be like him. Very, very important. Then love others who need the way, the truth, and the life. How? Involvement in their lives. Nurturing relationships. If you notice, when Jesus was discipling his men, he lived with them. He was involved in their lives. And now let's consider the Great Commission. The Great Commission starts off with saying, all authority is in me. It's like the foundation to this command. And then we are to go, and as we are going, making disciples. Going, apostolic mission, making disciples, nurturing relationships, as well as growing in Christ through getting into the word, which is the next one. Baptizing, teaching them to obey all that I have commanded you. So there is divine truth again. And then, of course, Christ is with us. I know I look at that task and say, can't. But Jesus says, yes, you can. Why? Because I am with you. So would you agree that these are three very important essentials? I know I do. I agree with Neil Cole that these are very, very important to growing in Christ. So why aren't they more evident in us and in our church? You know, for years, they really weren't evident in my life. And I have a proposal to make, and this is from Frank Viola. He feels that this is the problem with the church and with us. He would say that he would agree with Neil Cole and say that the essential parts of the church are here: loving God, loving others, part of the Great Commandment, and then go make disciples, the Great Commission. He would say that's the essential part of growing in Christ, the part of the church that needs to be the focal point. And of course, Jesus is at the center. And he says that what has happened now is we have added some things. Now, this was not true until about 400 AD. You know, if you look in the book of Acts and look at how the church met, they would meet in homes. They were very active in outreach, very active in helping others, nurturing lives. This was just a part of them for years. Then in 313 AD, a guy by the name of Constantine, who was the Roman emperor, had a revelation, became a Christian, and proclaimed no more persecution for the church. Then about 80 years later, a guy by the name of Theodosius, Roman emperor, is a Christian and proclaims everyone in my kingdom is going to be a Christian. And he supported the church with funds so they could begin building and gathering. Now, nothing wrong with buildings, my brothers and sisters, but if it becomes a focal point, we're missing it. Then, of course, you have a budget, programs, and then, of course, staff. So if you had asked me back in high school, early college, what is the essence of a church? I would say, well, I pay a building. You know, when we come together, it's at a building. And I miss the idea that the church, the ecclesia, is us. It didn't matter where we met. It's us. And people would say, well, you should get involved with this, Rick. And I'd say, no, that's what the pastors paid for. You know, it was here. I had a problem here. And if I've got a problem, guess what the church is going to have? Because I'm part of the church. So I could see where, as I focus on the outside stuff, I forget about the inside stuff. And I had done that. And I think in general, the church has done that. We've forgotten about the what we're really all about. So how do we get back to these roots? My good friend Maxine has some thoughts on this. And she would say, shut that door behind you. Do you think you were born in a barn? My parents said that to me so often, I thought I was. But anyway, how do we get back to our roots? We refocus on that DNA. How do we do that? How do we refocus on divine truth, nurturing relationships, and apostolic mission? Well, there are several ways to get to goals. For example, if I have a mission to go to the Gap and buy a pair of pants, here's me. I just go there. Here's my wife. There are different ways to get there. And you saw that big book. Obviously, there are lots of books. I like this way the best. And that is the way to instill DNA back into us and into the church is to engage in what many call a life transformation group. It's a small group, just a few guys or a few gals meeting together, and the focal point of that meeting together on a regular basis is DNA. Let me explain a little bit how that works, because we're working on this. I know Pastor Doug. He's got a heart for this. I know many of you. You all have a heart for this. But Pastor Doug doesn't have enough time to really do this. He's a pretty busy guy. Many of you are very busy. I'm retired. I've got time. And so I've been forming some of these groups. So we're working on this. Pastor Doug has really brought me alongside of him to help with this one area. And so we're working on this. And here's me with my first guys.
Which one is you?
Pastor Doug asked, which one's me? I'm the one in the far left. And then we're reading Galatians. One of the goals of the LTG is to really get into the Word on a regular basis. Not just on Sunday, not just listening to Pastor Doug, but into the Word on a regular basis. And so we will come up with a plan. We'll say something like, okay, we're going to read 1 Corinthians, the whole book, in 1 week. And then we get together. How'd you do? Oh, I read it. Are you lying to me? And if they didn't read it, then all of us have to read it again the next week. Brandon was in a group with us, and he was notorious for not reading it. And so he'd read it again. So halfway through the week, we're calling him, Brandon, are you reading? Anyway, we would get into the truth. And that's how we become like our Father. We get into his word, we talk with him, and we become like him. And then we're covering seven basics of the Christian life as well. So what are these seven basics? I find seven basics in the book of Hebrews, chapter 6, the first three verses. And I'll go through these real quickly. Elementary teachings of the Christ, that's getting into the word, learning about him. Repentance from dead works. You know, we can't work for our salvation. You guys know that. It's been drummed into you. You work because of your salvation, because of the gospel. Christ died for you. He forgives you. And you're working out of that, not for it. And so we really get into that, repentance from that. Repentance is a 180 turn. And, you know, for years, I thought I could work. You know, hey, I'm better than Pastor Doug because, you know, he was a screwball in high school. And I wasn't. And so I'm better than him. That's not how it works, is it? We are saved by grace and grace alone. He forgives us and he cleanses us, not on our own merit, but on his merit. And so we repent from those dead works to get to heaven. And we're working out of that relationship with him. Faith towards God. Now, Pastor Doug, 2 weeks ago, really focused in on that first one. No other idols before me. A key part of discipleship, and he focused on that 2 weeks ago, is this, repentance from dead works. Take me, for example. I was king in my life. And any work that I did was Rick doing that work. And God says, you need to repent from that dead work. That's a dead work. You need to repent from that. And Pastor Doug was really focusing in on that 2 weeks ago when he was talking about, you shall have no other gods before me. Guess who is God before God? I was God in my life, and I needed to repent from that. Allow the king to be king in my life and not me. So repentance from dead works. Faith towards God. Trusting him. You know, he paid the penalty on the cross for my rebellion. I was a rebel. I'm a king against the great king. He had every right to destroy me as an anarchist, a rebel. And he said, Rick, I love you so much. I'm going to send my son in your place to die for your rebellion. Wow. And so faith towards that, trusting God and his forgiveness, his cleansing, trusting his spirit to live powerfully through me, walking in his spirit. Washings. Some confusion about this one. What's he really talking about in Hebrews? Most scholars feel this is talking of baptism. Now, I was baptized as an infant, as probably most of you, and the baptismal regeneration, the washing of water with the word cleanses me. And then I went through confirmation. Confirmation is where I confirm what God did early in my life. Didn't work. I went through high school and college pretty much a rebel. King in my own life, calling my own shots. And I feel that I was confirmed at 19 when all of a sudden the grace of God just spoke to me and said, Rick, what are you doing? Who's king? Have you forgotten that I died for your rebellion? What are you doing? And I remember repenting. God, man. And saying, you be king. And I believe that your blood, your sacrifice applies to me. It was revolutionary in my life. It transformed my life. And I'll shout that from the housetops. Just Friday, we lost our puppy. And Friday I went down to a breeder who has a puppy I'm very interested in. I'm trying to talk my wife into getting this. But as we're talking, we were talking, and I told him that I went into high school and in early college I was going to be a vet. I was in pre-veterinary medicine. And he asked me, well, Rick, what are you doing now? And I said, well, I was a missionary for a while, then a pastor, and then a school teacher. And he said, what happened? Ha! Ah. And I could share with him what I just shared with you. The gospel. And Jesus proclaims it in the very first chapter of Mark. The kingdom of heaven is at hand, he said. He wants that kingdom here. Yeah, he's coming down. And he's going to set up a kingdom in the future. But he came the first time to set up his kingdom here. Repent, because he wasn't king. And then believe the gospel, that he paid the penalty for my rebellion at that cross. And I shared that with this guy. So he heard the message that all of us have heard. He maybe did not. So as we discuss these washings, we discuss stories that we can share. And I shared with him, you know, I was going to be a vet. You know why? Remember that Linus cartoon? He's going to be a doctor. He's talking to Lucy, and Lucy says, you can't be a doctor. You hate mankind. And Linus says, I love mankind. It's people I can't stand. That was me. I'd been hurt by people so often. My dad wanted me to become a doctor. I'll become a vet because my best friend was my dog. And God, I was telling this guy, God transformed me. And I wanted to be now a teacher. Why? So I could influence students who never had heard what I had heard. And so we're training each other in how to be effectively sharing the gospel through story. Like that. Laying on of hands is gifting. Resurrection of the dead. We have a hope, don't we? The hope that is within us. Resurrection. And then lastly, eternal judgment. You know where wisdom begins? The fear of God. And, you know, I'm not real big on hellfire and brimstone preachers, but I think we got to discuss this a little bit. because there is a judgment coming, and a fear of God is healthy. We don't need to fear anything else except Him. All right, then nurturing relationships. When we meet together, we get into each other's lives. We ask each other important questions, probing questions. We get together and to encourage, build each other up. We'll challenge and confront each other, but not beat each other up. Apostolic mission, as we are going through our day. So this is an ongoing thing. As we are going, we're looking for opportunities to continue that going, make disciples. Most small groups that I am aware of do not have A. We've got the greatest thing that could ever happen in a life. How can we keep it to ourselves? That should be at the foreground of every one of our meetings. And we get together and we have a list of 5 people that we're really praying for. And they'll ask me, Rick, how'd you do with so-and-so that we've been praying for? Have you had an opportunity to help them in some way, to share a little bit of your story, what's happened? And so they encourage me to stay on track with the apostolic mission. And finding friends, and these guys are real friends now, with the same mental disorder as me, and it's really priceless. So I'd like to review this with considering the raising of Lazarus. When the disciples, and this is in John 11, when the disciples heard the news that Lazarus had died, Jesus said, "Our friend Lazarus sleeps, but I go that I may wake him up." You're familiar with the story. Arriving at the tomb, Jesus cried with a loud voice, "Lazarus, come forth." We need to hear his voice, awaken to his call on our lives, particularly his final command to go and make disciples, apostolic mission. You know what Billy Graham has said? He has said the Lutheran Church, Missouri Synod, is a sleeping giant. I believe it. We need to wake up, church. We need to hear his voice. Wake up, like Lazarus. Lazarus came out of the crypt fully alive. We need to respond to his voice, his divine truth in his power. You know, think of that, the power of the Word of God to raise this guy from the dead. He has done that for us, hasn't he? He has raised us from the dead. His Word, his shed blood. Jesus said to those standing by, "Loose him, let him go." And this is where others come alongside to help. There are other people who will support you, encourage you, challenge you, nurturing relationships. God doesn't call the qualified, he qualifies the called. My brothers and sisters, God hasn't just called Pastor Doug or me or others on the staff. Guess what? He has called all of us. That command to go, and as you're going, make disciples, is not just for a few. It's for every one of us. And what's really great is he qualifies each one of us. He empowers each one of us by his Spirit. The task ahead of us is never as great as the power behind us. Where's the power? Power in the blood, right? Christ died for our miserable souls. And we are the beneficiaries of that grace. So how do we respond? How will you respond? Let's pray. Lord Jesus, I thank you for your word. I thank you for growing in you and seeing more clearly what's involved with that. I pray that all of us would grow in you through divine truth, through nurturing relationships, through apostolic mission, through dependence on your Spirit, and not dependence on me, leaving desire to be king, to be an idol ahead of you. I pray that by your Spirit, by your grace, you would forgive us for when we mess up, and then empower us to live a life that is honoring and glorifying to you. It's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Thanks for listening. For more information about Community of Hope, go to www.cohchurch.com. God bless you today.